Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Live from the Play Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here on Long Island today. That's right. It is a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, and also streaming live on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm Straight Flexin', or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, X, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Or you could find me on TikTok at The Zach Gelb Show. We got a whole lot to do today. We're rocking and rolling all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time. Coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern time, right at the top of the hour, it is the former Heisman Trophy winner, 2007 Heisman Trophy winner, and a two-time national champion, Tim Tebow, is going to join us. Pat Boyle is going to join us today, but it's going to be about an hour later than normal, right at 4:40 p.m. Eastern time. We will connect it up with Patty Boyle. We'll get his thoughts on his Notre Dame Fighting Irish not making the college football playoff. And at 5 p.m. Eastern time, we will also talk to Evan Washburn, NFL on CBS. We will toss around the football with him. But, you know, I wasn't going to lead the show with this. We'll get to Jalen Hurts in just a second. I don't think he should be benched. Ooh, I know, big juicy hot take right there. And Philip Rivers probably will be playing this weekend for the Indianapolis Colts. I don't think he's going to look very good, even though I do want to see Philip Rivers make the playoffs this year, because it's just a wild story that a 44-year-old grandfather is now going to be lining up and playing for the Indianapolis Colts when he last played in the NFL in the year of 2020. But the last 2 days, I don't know where Stuart Kovacs has been. A lot of people have been asking me, tweeting me, messaging me on Instagram, even going to the old Facebook to send me a few direct messages that I got there. But they said, where the heck was Stu on Monday and Tuesday? And they remembered last year in the college football season when Notre Dame played Penn State, and it was the battle of Ryan Hickey versus Stu Kovacs, that we basically danced on the grave of Ryan Hot Take Hickey when the Notre Dame Fighting Irish defeated the Penn State Nittany Lions to advance to the national championship game. And we had to dress Hickey up like he was a leprechaun, and we took some photos with Hickey. We did him a little montage as well. And Stu put up the L fingers right there to do a loser sign 2-1 Ryan Hot Take Hickey. Now, Notre Dame obviously didn't make the college football playoff, and Penn State this year had a disastrous season, but Notre Dame opened up the season, right, losing to A&M, losing to Miami, those two games right out of the gate to start the season by a combined 4 points, right? It was a field goal to Miami when they should have ran the ball more with Jeremiah Love, and they lost on what you could have had called a holding penalty on A&M, but the ball was delivered in the end zone. It was close. You leave it in the hands of the officials, and you end up not getting something going your way, as that was a one-point victory for the Aggies of A&M going into South Bend, Indiana, and defeating the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. So we have given a lot of reaction in the last 2 days with Notre Dame being held out of the college football playoff, Miami getting in, Alabama getting in. But since Stuart Kovacs has been MIA, aka hiding and crying and being very upset with what happened with this football team, he has emerged out of hiding, he has emerged out of the cave, and he has made his triumphant return to the Zach Yelp Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. One of our producer extraordinaires, Stuart Kovacs, what say you on your Notre Dame Fighting Irish being left out of the college football playoff?
Yeah, it was not the outcome I was hoping for. It was the outcome I was a little worried about. As soon as Alabama popped into that 9 spot, I was like, we are in trouble, because I knew as soon as that happened with BYU losing, that was going to pin Miami and Notre Dame right next to each other. And look, I'll say the committee got it right in terms of picking Miami over Notre Dame. I have no problem with that. They beat Notre Dame when they played each other. I have a little bit more of an issue of Alabama getting in, and I have a really, really big issue about how the rankings were throughout the entire season, how far Miami was back, and you know how they basically were behind Notre Dame up until just the very last day. But look, I'm not happy with the committee, but don't lose your first two games of the year. That's all I can really say.
I think it's a very fair and measured take. Now, I do not
like it's more measured dancing than I was 4 days ago. I'll say that.
Okay. Well, that's why you're out the last 2 days.
That's right. Exactly.
I'll tell you this. I do not like to dance on someone's grave. So when someone is in mourning, I don't like to sit there and rub it in their face. I have never done that in my radio career. Wink, wink. But with that being said, I have two follow-up questions. What in particular, I'll ask you this one first and then the second one. What in particular annoys you about Alabama getting in? And I'm going to assume you're saying, oh, well, they got blown out by Georgia. All right, they lost their third game of the season, but they were in a conference championship game while Miami was not, and obviously Notre Dame doesn't play in a conference. So what specifically, to hammer home the Stuart Kovacs point, really annoys you about Alabama getting in and Notre Dame being left out?
I just think the committee makes it up as they go. Look, if you watch Alabama the last month, I don't think they're a playoff team. And I understand they play in a tougher conference. They play much harder opponents than Notre Dame. They have a much better win than Notre Dame, beating Georgia early in the year. But they got absolutely smoked by Georgia. They barely beat an Auburn team that isn't any good this year. I know it's a rivalry game. I just think if you look with the eye test of what Alabama's been the last month, I don't think they are as good as either Miami or Notre Dame. And look, if they're not gonna penalize them for getting blown out in a conference championship game, then what about BYU? BYU should be there ahead of Miami. Then and that's where I just feel like they just make it up to kind of get the teams they want in there. That's what kind of frustrates me. I don't understand why BYU gets penalized and they drop a spot while Alabama doesn't. And especially after a week after where they said the toughest debate for them, if you will, was Notre Dame against Miami. Notre Dame against Alabama. So yeah. if Alabama loses by that much, you would think that would move them back, but apparently not.
So this was my take on Sunday when I was reacting to it in the moment. What you just said on the back end, I 1,000% agreed with. Like, if Alabama would have lost just closely to Georgia after already beating them once, I don't think they would have fallen off that 9th spot. And then that would have led us to Notre Dame and Miami finally being debated up against one another. But I truly did think, Stu, and I don't know what you thought about this on Saturday night going into Sunday. I really did think once Alabama got blown out that they were going to drop Alabama just down one spot, put Notre Dame in as the 9th seed, and then Notre Dame would be playing Oklahoma, and then the debate wouldn't be Notre Dame and Miami, it would be Alabama and Miami, and quite frankly, even though there is an argument to be made for Miami to get in over Alabama, I think because of how lopsided the strength of schedule was, where Miami was in the 40s and Alabama was either 10 or 11, I think the committee with the new criteria of, hey, strength of schedule really matters, that's one of the things that we're looking for, would have put Alabama in over Miami. Is that what you thought? Like, when you tuned into the selection show, before they gave you any of the selections, did you think, okay, Notre Dame is in because yes. they'll move Notre Dame up one and then it will be Alabama, Miami, and Miami would get screwed out?
Yes. I thought what the committee would do is exactly what you just said. I think they would have bumped Notre Dame over Miami. Notre Dame would have been in that 9 spot, and then they still would have kept Alabama in at 10. That's what I thought they were going to do, yes.
Did you get nervous? Because this is when I knew that it was going to be Miami up against Notre Dame and we were finally going to get this debate. It wasn't even when they put Alabama up at 9. It's when they only dropped Ohio State to 2. Like, we sat here on Sunday Morning Football and we asked, how far is Ohio State going to fall? And I thought they were going to fall, even though they only lost by 3 points, I thought they were going to fall all the way to 4. And I said, maybe they just fall to 3. It was never under any consideration by yours truly. After Georgia won the SEC and avenged the loss to Alabama, not only avenged the loss, beat the living snot out of Alabama, I never thought that Ohio State was only going to fall one spot. Once Ohio State, Stu, only fell one spot, I said to myself, uh-oh, that means Alabama isn't falling.
It's interesting. I didn't think that at the time. I thought, I didn't really consider that as something that would impact the other thing. It makes sense that you say it now, but it really, for me, was once I saw Bama there. That's when I knew it was trouble, because there's no way they're going to pick. I mean, I shouldn't say no way, but realistically, you shouldn't rank Notre Dame ahead of Miami, considering that they have the same record and Miami won the game they played.
Yeah, and the metrics were so similar. And with the metrics being so similar, the other one that they do take into criteria with the College Football Playoff Committee is head-to-head. And as you said, Miami defeated Notre Dame to start the season. So once Alabama was popped on the screen at 9, and now we finally got that debate that we've all been having, but the College Football Playoff Committee wasn't having, once you saw that it was going down between Notre Dame and Miami, you weren't stunned then. Were you at least still a little bit surprised? Like, take me through the Kovacs palatial estate. You're sitting there, you're watching. What was the thing that you said to yourself when it was revealed that, okay, it is Miami? Like I want to hear how you processed it and paint the scene for me.
So as soon as I saw Alabama, I said, oh, bleep. And then my girlfriend, Angie, was like, what does that mean? What does that mean? I'm like, well, Notre Dame played Miami. They're probably now going to pick Miami over Notre Dame. I think that's what's going to happen. And then it was obviously, like, you know, 60 seconds that they talked about, and then they flashed to Miami on the screen, and I was like, oh, bleep again. And then I just put my head down and realized that the season at that point was, you know, basically over.
And I'm going to ask you 2 follow-ups in a particular way here. If Notre Dame went to Tuscaloosa, let's say on Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, to play Alabama, who do you think would win that game?
I think Notre Dame wins.
Okay. If Notre Dame went to Miami coming up on Saturday, who do you think wins that game?
I think Notre Dame. I'm a little more hesitant on that one, but I think Notre Dame would win that one too.
I think Notre Dame would beat Miami if they played again. Now, if they played Alabama, I really think it comes down to the health of Jam Miller. When that team doesn't have Jam Miller, they look absolutely lost offensively. And I know there was some narrative even before that game where, you know, people were questioning Jam Miller. But when he's not on the field for Alabama, I've seen them play some of their worst football this season. So moving on from this, Stu, the other thing that people are going to say, should Notre Dame join a conference? Where do you lie on that debate? Do you think Notre Dame needs to join a conference?
I don't think they need to. I think we're going to see this thing get expanded further. And I think this was a weird year. I know you've talked about it a lot, you know, pretty much the whole year. Like, if Notre Dame loses 2 games there, they're most likely in the playoffs. And I think that is the case probably 8 out of 10 years, maybe even 9 out of 10 years.
And also, if you would have told me before the season, Diego Pavia would be a Heisman Trophy finalist and Vanderbilt will only have 2 losses in the SEC, I would think they would be in 2. And they weren't even under consideration.
I know, which is crazy with the season that they had. I agree with that.
It's the perfect storm to really just say, hey, we want to go to 16. And I've said this to the listening audience, I would only put it to 14 and have play-in spots, 11 versus 14, 12 versus 13, or just get rid of the G5 in there and have them go play their own college football playoff. But I'm with you. I don't think, because it's probably going to 16, I don't think Notre Dame needs to join a conference. I think a lot of people want them. But based off that, Stu, some people will say, oh, well, if Notre Dame played in the SEC, how good would Notre Dame be? We did Notre Dame's schedule if it was A&M's schedule yesterday. Like, I just pulled up A&M's schedule. And at most, we only had them having three losses. You know, I think there was a clear case to be made that they would have two losses or maybe even fewer. Let me just pull up Alabama's schedule. So, Alabama's schedule, I'm going to pretend like it's Notre Dame on that schedule. For the regular season, Notre Dame at Florida State to open up the season, who would win?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, Louisiana, Monroe.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, Wisconsin.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame at Georgia.
I think Georgia wins that, yeah.
Notre Dame, Vanderbilt.
It's a good game. It's obviously a pretty good game. I think Notre Dame would win that game.
Notre Dame at Missouri.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, Tennessee.
That's a tough one at home. I would say Notre Dame. Look, they probably would slip up at some point against one of these teams that I think they're better than, but I'll still say Notre Dame wins that game.
Notre Dame at South Carolina.
Notre Dame will win that, yeah.
Notre Dame, LSU.
Before the season, I would have said differently, but with how we saw LSU, I would say Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, Oklahoma.
I think Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, Eastern Illinois.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame at Auburn.
Notre Dame.
Like, I don't think it's that crazy with what you just said.
Maybe two. Maybe there's one, maybe two losses, I feel like, in that bunch
but,
there.
But I could also argue, and I know it's a different team, but there's some similarities. Notre Dame did defeat Georgia last year in the playoff.
Right.
So you gave them the loss to Georgia. I think that's fair. But could Notre Dame beat Georgia? Yes. But then they could slip up to Vanderbilt the following week. Like I don't think that's crazy. You know, maybe Tennessee. But those would only be the three, or maybe Oklahoma too. But I think Notre Dame's offense would be able to get enough points to beat Oklahoma. Yeah, they would be two or three losses if they played in the SEC this year, at most. Absolutely at most. So what we kind of learned here, Stu, I think in the last 48 to 72 hours when some of us show up to work and then others are just crying about their Notre Dame football team. You know, some people are actually going to believe that. That's not actually what Stu was doing. Stu was out. He had a wedding over the weekend that he needed to attend to, and it bled into a few more days. And also, you were celebrating your girlfriend's birthday, right?
Yes, the big 3-0, yes.
Oh, she's 30.
She's 30 now. She is.
Oh, I didn't know your girlfriend was younger than me. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that I ever really thought about your girlfriend's age. I didn't know that what it was. So it was the big 30 shindig there. What'd you guys do?
It was. Well, obviously the trip was, the wedding to Jacksonville was pretty much took up most of the weekend. And then on Monday we did a nice restaurant, a nice Italian restaurant with the parents. And so that was a good time. And that was really most of it, to be honest.
Yeah, my 30th birthday, I did a big Zach Gill birthday dinner at Fogo de Chao, which was pretty good.
Yeah,
and
that's
now
fun.
I like Fogo de Chao, don't get me wrong. Brazilian Steakhouse is awesome, but now it's a running bit with my friend group that's like the only restaurant that I eat at. And I go, folks, you know that's not the case. I have one of the best palates in the history of society. But just one more point on this real quickly, and then we'll get to the break. We'll do Phillip Rivers. We'll do Jalen Hurts on the other side. Tim Tebow is going to join us coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern time today. We will have Pat Boyle at 4:40 p.m. Eastern time, and then Evan Washburn, who has some of the best hair in the sports reporting business, will join us at 5 p.m. Eastern time. What changes do you want to see? Do you just say, hey, take this to 16? Do you say maybe do 14 with the play-in tournament? Do you say don't put the G5 in and maybe have them do their own playoff? You being the Notre Dame fan, where you think your team is one of the top 12 best teams in the country, and aren't we trying to find the top 12 best teams in the country? In theory, yes, but it's not formatted to find the 12 best teams in the country, because if Virginia would have won the ACC championship game, they would have been in, and I don't think Virginia is a top 12 team in the country. So with all that being said, for you, Stu, what's the change after you've had 3 days to think about this that you said, all right, I'm Stuart Kovacs. I'm the commissioner of college football. I'm running this damn, you know, MF-er. What are you going to do to end up changing college football when it comes to the playoff format?
Yeah, I hate to not include the G5 teams, but I don't know. I look at these games, these matchups, and I don't know if you're going to really get some competitive games from the James Madisons and the Tulanes of the world. Like, I hate to not include them, but I feel like it would be better if Notre Dame and, let's say, BYU were in the playoffs this year. I'll say this. I think Notre Dame outside of Ohio State, maybe Texas Tech, maybe Georgia. Like, I think they, I'll say this, I think they can compete with pretty much every team that's in the playoffs. Like, they could get to the championship again if they had the right path. So I don't think I would say the same about Tulane and James Madison.
Yeah, so Stu Kovacs basically hates little fellows, what I just heard.
That's right.
You hate little people. That's what you do. real quickly, though, with that being said, just to provide a counterpoint, because, right, the G5's getting slammed, and people are going to say, oh, now we have Tulane and James Madison in the first round. The games are going to be horrible. Yeah, Tulane-Ole Miss, probably not going to be a good football game. James Madison-Oregon, probably not going to be a good football game. But last year, let me remind you, Boise State was the G5 representative. They got a bye. Now, they ended up getting smacked by Penn State in the second round, so that doesn't negate the point against the G5. But here was the first round from a year ago. Ohio State-Tennessee. That's Big Ten SEC. It was 42-17 in favor of the Buckeyes. You had the ACC up against the Big Ten, SMU and Penn State, 38-10 in favor of the Penn State Nittany Lions. You also had Notre Dame play Indiana, no affiliation to a conference, and then the Big Ten. That was a 10-point game, 27-17. And then you did have Texas and Clemson, which was good for a little bit, but then Texas pulled away late, and it was 38-24. So you had, like, two somewhat close games and two blowouts. The math's probably going to be the same math this year, where it's two good games on paper when you look at A&M and Miami, and then you look at Oklahoma and Alabama, and then Oregon, James Madison, probably going to be a stinker. Tulane, Ole Miss, maybe it's closer than what they did the first time, but I still think it's going to be a stinker. So it feels like the results are going to be the same this year, but if you told me that James Madison was out, and you told me Tulane wasn't even allowed to be in the college football playoff, and you put BYU in there, or you put Notre Dame in there, yeah, I do think we get four, or at least three, because maybe you'll get a stinker, you know, here or there. But in terms of the matchups, you would anticipate at least three or four, you know, really good college football playoff games. All righty, we'll take a break. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, we're living in a world where Phillip Rivers could be starting once again for the Indianapolis Colts, and also there is a legitimate conversation to be had about the Super Bowl MVP from this past Super Bowl getting benched. We'll get to both of that when we come on back. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Before the start of the season, even if you were the biggest critic of Jalen Hurts, you said that Jalen Hurts is a top 10 quarterback. Now, a lot of people, including yours truly, had him in the top five. You know, at worst, the sixth best quarterback in the sport. If you were, however you wanted to order, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Lamar, that was up to you. Some people then said Jaden Daniels five or Jalen Hurts five, and then whoever they didn't have in that fifth spot would then be six. I also think Matthew Stafford was in that conversation as well. But if you were being fair, and I think going off the last season, at the absolute worst, maybe seventh or eighth. But with that being said, Jalen Hurts is not having a good season with the Philadelphia Eagles. And there's one thing to not be playing well, but to still win games. The last 3 weeks, all bleep has hit the fan. They blow the game to the Cowboys. They lose the game the other night to the Chargers, where Hurts was just a turnover machine. In between them, Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams come into Lincoln Financial Field on Black Friday, and the two running backs for the Bears just ran the ball right down the Eagles' throats. So the Eagles go from Super Bowl champions, or actually, let's backtrack. The Eagles go from a team that was 10-1, won one game down the stretch, lost in the wild card round to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then the following season, they win the freaking Super Bowl, where, yes, the defense was awesome. Saquon Barkley had a career year. With that being said, also, though, Jalen Hurts ended up winning the Super Bowl MVP. And even though, statistically, when you look at his passing numbers aren't great. When you look at it in the totality of total touchdowns, total yards, with what he does on the ground, Jalen Hurts is a pretty damn good quarterback. You may not think he's great. You may not think he's elite. But he's a pretty damn good quarterback. This year, though, the Eagles' offense is looking like it did in 2023. Absolutely lost. So with what has transpired and what has happened in the last three games, there are now questions about Jalen Hurts. And I thought the noise in the offseason when people were saying, oh, Tanner McKee is unbelievable, the sixth-round quarterback, whatever he was drafted, 2023, whatever it was, out of Stanford. You know, people are hyping up him. If you recall, Howard Eskin, and I remember playing this cut, he said something along the lines of, Tanner McKee is the best quarterback on the roster. And that blew my mind. So you know how quickly it could change in a passionate city like Philadelphia. You could be the hero one week, the zero the next week. And there's a difference being a hero in another market. There's a difference being a zero in another market. When you're in Philadelphia, even though it's not life or death, it feels like life or death. So I guess there's been enough smoke here with Jalen Hurts. I guess there's been enough conversation with Jalen Hurts, where Nick Sirianni does a weekly chat on Sports Radio 94 WIP. He was asked about the possibility, because a lot of Eagles fans in the second half up against the Chargers, I saw the tweets on social media. Right, a lot of people were saying, hey, maybe it's time to sit Jalen Hurts down for the rest of this game. They didn't. They had a chance to win the game in overtime. They were driving first and 10 at the 17, and he made a dumb decision, and it cost him the game, and he threw an interception. So Nick Sirianni in his weekly spot on Sports Radio 94 WIP with Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie, he was asked the question, could we actually see the Super Bowl MVP just from a year ago, just from last February, be benched down the stretch of the season?
Is Jalen definitely your starter Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there a possibility later this season, if he continues to struggle, that you can make a change at the quarterback spot?
No, I think that's ridiculous. You know, I think, you know, Jalen Hurts, I know every time I go out in that field with Jalen Hurts as our quarterback, we have a chance to win the game. That's something that's been proven. You know, we've won a lot of football games.
Hey, Samter, I know that you have been critical of Jalen Hurts in the past. Do you think the Eagles should bench him at down the stretch of this season? Do you think they should bench him for the final four games?
No, because that's I don't know enough, and I don't believe in Tanner McKee with this roster. Mm-hmm. If they had a legitimate backup, if they had somebody that they thought could step in and actually win, you know, when you were calling Jalen Hurts the fifth best quarterback because he won the Super Bowl, I was the one always saying, like, they're winning in spite of him, not because of him. He makes plays in key moments, but at the end of the day, like, on a day-to-day, game-to-game basis, there are at least 8 or 9 quarterbacks better than him. He just makes plays when it matters, and that's important for a quarterback. Yeah. You want a guy who's going to be clutch, but as far as, like, who are the better quarterbacks? Who are the guys in a vacuum who are just the best quarterbacks who can throw the ball, get first down, score points? He's not in the top 8, not top 9. So I would say no, because I don't trust in Tanner McKee. What has he done? But if they had, like, a legitimate backup.
Who's a legitimate backup in your estimation? Just so I could see, like, where your mind is at on this one.
I mean, maybe Joe Flacco, Mac Jones. If they had, like, Mac Jones as their backup. Kirk Cousins is a shell of himself. But at that point, we didn't realize how bad Cousins was. But, like, somebody with experience, somebody who's led a team, who has started and done well.
Even if they did have Joe Flacco in that locker room, even if they did have Mac Jones, I think it is absurd where a guy won a Super Bowl MVP and has been to another Super Bowl where he statistically was the best player on the field to have that conversation right now. And I'll even take it one step further. I love the cuz, Anthony Gargano, who joined us yesterday. And he said, because it's Howie, he would never say it's 100% certain in terms of Tanner McKee maybe replacing him this offseason or Jalen Hurts not being on this roster next year. Jalen Hurts, 1,000%, not 100%. 1,000% is going to be the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles next year. He deserves the opportunity to redeem himself the rest of the season and also to start next season. But with that being said, that is the point where I will draw the line in the sand. If we're having the same conversation next year where Jalen is the problem, even with him going to 2 Super Bowls, even with him winning a Super Bowl, even with him winning a Super Bowl MVP, if you see this for 2 straight years, then I think the conversation is fair. But here's the other thing. They play the Raiders and the Commanders. Those are next two games for the Eagles. They better win both those games. Because, Samter, I will say this. If they lose to the Raiders, or maybe I should say it to Stu. Stu, if they lose to the Raiders, then I think that those talks about Jalen Hurts, which seem premature right now, And I know I just said 1,000%. I know how this is going to work. I'm not saying they're going to change the quarterback. I don't think they will. But those calls to make a quarterback change are going to get louder and louder and louder. And that's just the reality of the situation. And I hosted radio in Philadelphia the year the Eagles won their first ever Super Bowl. When Carson Wentz went down and you saw Nick Foles play at the end of the season, it wasn't pretty. I did segments. I did shows where people would call me before the playoffs started. I think their first playoff game, there was a bye week and they played Atlanta. People would call me and they would say, Zach, Nate Sudfeld needs to start. And after doing 2 days of hearing Nate Sudfeld's name, I eventually popped. I eventually exploded. I eventually said, no. I can't take this anymore. If you mention the name Sudfeld for the rest of the show or at any point during the rest of the show, I drop the phone call right away. Like someone would be like, I think they should go to Nate Sudfeld. Nope, drop. Not doing it. So that's Philadelphia then. And then look, Nick Foles ended up winning them a Super Bowl. But you look at this, the cupcake schedule they have for the rest of the season. Commanders twice, Raiders. The only tough game is the Buffalo Bills. If they don't at least go 2-2, and they should probably go 3-1, those calls are going to get louder and louder and louder. Alrighty, Philip Rivers, the 44-year-old, he's on the Colts practice squad. A lot of people anticipate him to actually suit up this weekend for the Indianapolis Colts. This is Jonathan Jones, CBS Sports. Could Philip Rivers start this upcoming weekend?
I will not at all be surprised if Philip Rivers takes every first-team rep this week at practice for the Indianapolis Colts. I will not at all be surprised if Philip Rivers starts this upcoming Sunday for the Indianapolis Colts. All indications right now, he has to get through the practice week. He has to get through it healthy. His hamstring has to stay on the bone, okay? But I think he's going to start this weekend against the Seattle Seahawks. I'd be shocked if he doesn't.
Let's hear from Philip Rivers on why he's returning to the NFL since the last time he played was in the year of 2020, that regular season.
As simple as can be is a coach that I love and an organization that I really enjoyed being with. Mr. Irsay believing in me in that year in 2020 when it didn't go so good. And shoot, the teammates that I was able to play with, shoot, 14 of them are still here, and they wanted me. A game I love to play, a game that I thought it was I was done playing. Certainly, I wasn't really hanging on any hope of playing again. I'd kind of thought that ship had sailed. Something about it excited me, and it's kind of one of those deals. The door opens, and you can either walk through it and find out if you can do it, or run from it. I know that there's risk involved, obviously, of what may or may not happen, but the only way to find out is going for it. I just felt almost like it was a gift, another opportunity to play and cut it loose with your guys in the game you love to play. And the dream that you got to live, you may get some bonus time. So I really kept it as simple as that.
And let's hear from Michael Pittman of the Colts, his reaction to Philip Rivers returning to the team.
Yeah, I mean, I did think it was kind of funny, but then I really sat there and thought about it, and I was like, you know what? Like, Philip really invented this offense. Like this is offense that he's ran, and if we were going to go get a guy, I mean, I think he's him.
At Seattle, San Francisco, that's a Monday Night Football game, by the way, Jacksonville and at the Texans. If Philip Rivers wins one game, he'd be lucky. You haven't played since the 2020 regular season. You win one game, you would be lucky. I hope this goes well. I think the story is really cool. The guy hasn't played since the 2020 regular season, the last time the Colts were in the playoffs, all that stuff. I get it. Very cool story. But with that being said, the chances of this working, the chances of this succeeding are not good. Philip Rivers is going to look how a 44-year-old grandfather should look on a football field. Not very good. And maybe he has one good game. Maybe they could win one game. But in all reality, at best, they're probably going 1-3. That's probably at the best case scenario. I just don't see how this is working. But from a football fan, I would love to see this work. Imagine tuning into Wild Card Weekend and this story that you had for the last month of the season. The Colts didn't have Riley Leonard. They didn't have Anthony Richardson. They didn't have any more Daniel Jones, right, with all these injuries. They had to turn to old man Philip Rivers, and he leads the Colts to the playoffs to salvage the Colts season. It would be an unbelievable story. But I don't live in fairy tales. I live in reality. And I think what the reality is going to be is that Philip Rivers is not going to be that good. And the Colts, even though they have a good roster, they're probably at best going to win one game with Philip Rivers. I hope I'm wrong. I really do, because it'd be an awesome story. I just don't see how this works. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout. We'll come on back. It is a Wednesday. We'll do a Take 5 Wednesday right here on the show. I'll give you my top five teams in the NFL and college football. Also, Tim Tebow set to join us right at the top of the hour at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Update time first. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And it's brought to you by Advantage Gold. Want a winning retirement plan? Own physical gold and silver. Text Advantage Gold today. It's easy. Text GOLD to 85545. That's GOLD to 85545 and request your free gold information kit or visit AdvantageGold.com. Message and data rates may apply. The New York Mets have lost two key pieces in the last 2 days. This time it's popular first baseman Pete Alonso leaving, reportedly getting a five-year deal from the Orioles worth $155 million. The polar bear leaves the franchise as its all-time leader in home runs with 264. He drove in 100 runs four times in seven seasons, including the COVID-shortened year. He's also incredibly durable, missing just 24 games in his career. The Commanders aren't taking any chances with Jaden Daniels, ruling him out this weekend against the Giants after aggravating his dislocated left elbow. Mike Evans and Jalen McMillan both activated from IR and could play tomorrow night, while the Falcons have ruled out Drake London. The NBA Cup quarterfinals continue. The defending champion Thunder go for their 16th straight against the Suns, and the second game features the Spurs and Lakers in LA. I'm Rich Ackerman.
All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Tim Tebow going to join us coming up at the top of the hour, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback out of Florida, where he also won two national championships. It's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, get to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb. Using the hashtag AskThePros, be listening later in the show, we might answer your question. You can thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's get to Take 5 Wednesday.
As the dust settles from last week's games, it's time to look at which teams are rising.
Touchdown!
And which are falling.
And there's an interception.
Zach ranks his top five NFL and college football teams on this week's edition of Take 5, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, we'll start it off in the NFL. The Green Bay Packers were hot to start off the season. They were 2-0. Then they cooled off. And they were sitting there at 5-3-1 after a loss to Philadelphia. They also lost to Carolina the week before. Some of their victories were the Bengals, the Cardinals. You know, the Steelers was a good one. They tied with the Cowboys. They lose to Cleveland. And you're just looking at this team, and you said to yourself, well, can they be great, or are they just good? Well, since then, sure, it was a close game up against the Giants. Then they smothered the Minnesota Vikings. But the last 2 weeks, just being the better team in their own division, you know, up against Detroit, up against Chicago, that was impressive to me. So I put the Green Bay Packers in at number five. For number four, this team could be moving up the rankings a lot in short order. I am very impressed with their defense. I still don't trust their quarterback in a big game, but the quarterback is having a solid season. They have one of the best offensive players in the league. That's the Seattle Seahawks, back-to-back wins. They smothered Max Brosmer and the Vikings, and then they also smothered the Atlanta Falcons. So you take a look at them. They are in a really good spot. They're sitting there at 10-3. Their next four games, Indianapolis, the Rams, the Panthers, and the 49ers, all four of those teams could be playoff teams. In at number three, if they didn't lose to the Panthers, you can make the case that they would be the number one team in the NFL right now in my power rankings. But they did lose to the Panthers. Now, I understand they had a nice win streak, right? It was 6 games in a row before losing to the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers could be going to the playoffs. But there was a moment in that Cardinals game where it was 10-10, and I'm saying to myself, man, are we going to start to see the Rams having to squeeze one out and really just squeak one out up against the Arizona Cardinals? And the next thing you know, it's 45-17. Now, the Rams' schedule the next 2 weeks is fun before they get cupcakes to end the season with the Falcons and the Cardinals, but they get the Lions this weekend, and then they are at Seattle in a short week. The Rams are sitting there at 10-3. They have a phenomenal defense. They have Stafford, who could be the MVP of the league, or could be, at bare minimum, the best quarterback in the league. You got Puka Nacua. You got Davante Adams. Blake Corum is starting to come alive there, along with Kyren Williams. The Rams are in there at number three. Now, in at number two, this team just keeps on winning and winning and winning. Now, it hasn't been the prettiest thing in the world, but when you have a double-digit win streak, you deserve a spot in the top two. They started the season off 1-2. 1-2, the Denver Broncos, right? They lost that game with a leverage penalty up against the Colts. They followed up with a loss against the Chargers. They haven't lost a game since. They are now at 11-2. And I know it wasn't like the greatest thing up against the Raiders, and the Raiders put lipstick on the pick at the end of the game with kicking a field goal that cost people a lot of money. And they barely beat the Washington Commanders in overtime. But when you're 11-2, you're 11-2, and you're deserving of the second spot in our power rankings. And in at number one, they do have two marquee victories this year. They beat the Buffalo Bills. They also beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They also started the season 1-2, and they haven't lost a game since. So they're on a 10-game win streak. That's the New England Patriots, who are coming off a bye, and it is cap and t-shirt week as they have a chance to not only clinch a playoff spot, but also clinch the AFC East as they try to take out the Buffalo Bills for the second time this season. So here are my power rankings for this week on the top five of the NFL. Packers 5, Seahawks 4, Rams 3, Broncos 2, Patriots 1. Samter, speak now or forever hold your peace.
I mean, the Patriots are still the third best team in their
own
division.
Okay, just shut up and give me the teams.
In their own division.
Just shut up. You said this team wasn't going to win 10 games before the season started. You were so wrong. Just give me
they're still
just
not.
Give me the team.
They're still
just
not.
Give
they're
me the team.
Lose
shut your mouth and just give me the team.
The 49ers.
We're running out of time here.
The 49ers.
So, like, that's the team that I next debated the most. And it's been that way for the last 2 weeks. The only thing with the 49ers, and they're on their own win streak right now with three straight games. You know, they played the Cardinals. They played the Browns as of late. It wasn't even pretty up against the Carolina Panthers. You know, I got to see more out of Brock Purdy. And they've had a lot of injuries. The 49ers are one of the best teams in the NFL. I just don't think they're one of the top five teams in the NFL. And they should crush Tennessee coming up this weekend. And after that, they got to, you know, good teams at the end of the season. The Colts, the Bears, and the Seahawks. So I got to see more out of Brock Purdy where there's a ton of pressure on him.
How about the Jaguars?
To be determined. Like all of those teams inside the South, I have some skepticism on. Like the Colts are now going to Phillip Rivers. The Texans, I don't love their quarterback play with CJ Stroud, but their defense looks like they're top five. The Jaguars, they're starting to trend in the direction of looking like a top five team. I'm just not ready to go there yet.
All right, let's look at the Texans on fire.
Yeah, I basically just said it. It's CJ Stroud. Like, it's the same thing as Brock Purdy. CJ Stroud has to play better. I know that they just beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Give them credit for that. That's a huge win for them. I love their defense. Their offense needs to start getting on the same page, or at least in striking distance of what their defense is.
The Bills.
Let's see what they do after this weekend. Like, Buffalo's one of those teams, right when you think they're getting it right, they then go the other way. This is a big one for Buffalo this weekend in Foxborough.
Last one, the Chargers.
Too many injuries. And can Herbert survive the entire season with these injuries? So I don't even love the way that they looked offensively up against the Eagles. Their defense was very good. All right, college football, I think it's easy. I know Ole Miss was idle last week. I know they lost Lane Kiffin. Their only loss of the season was to Georgia, where they just had a bad fourth quarter. Georgia ended up winning the SEC, so I put the Rebels of Ole Miss in at number five. Texas Tech, congratulations to them. Jerry Maguire, what a story, coach in high school, joins Matt Rhule's staff, sticks around for 1 year of Dave Aranda, and then gets the Texas Tech job. He has been unbelievable. Texas Tech win a national championship. Ohio State, Ryan Day, the game's close. Ryan Day urinated down his leg. Questionable third and fourth down decision making. Last week, you were the hero. This week, you were the zero. I put Ohio State in at number three. Georgia, I know that now people are talking about Georgia, but I said it through the last 5 weeks of the season. I think Georgia could win the national championship. So I put them in at two, and they just smothered Alabama. And then at number one, the most impressive team, the most impressive story in college football. It's what Kurt Cignetti has done with the Indiana Hoosiers. So Ole Miss 5, Texas Tech 4, Ohio State 3, Georgia 2, Indiana 1. Speak now, forever hold your peace.
We had Dan Lennon yesterday, Oregon.
Got to see them doing it in a big game. And I think Ole Miss and Oregon are very similar. But I understand Oregon lost to Indiana. That was at home. For the Ducks. But I think for Oregon, it's prove it come playoff time, and they'll have that opportunity to do so. They should smother James Madison, and the real fun does start.
How about A&M?
Marcel Reed, he's a heck of a player. He's hurt right now. A&M's performance up against Texas does concern me a little bit. Anyone else?
I was good with Miami or Oklahoma.
Miami was borderline to make the playoffs. I think they have a well-rounded team. I like Miami more than Oklahoma. Oklahoma's offense, I just don't trust. Tim Tebow going to join us next. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.